Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Terrorists hijacked our religion. So luckily, during the last 7-8 years, with the help of our friends, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Sikh, interfaith has become far more effective now.
On this solemn day, at this sacred hour, once more we pause, once more we pray, as a nation and as a people.
I hate Barack Obama. I'm going to pray that he dies and goes to hell.
Stop killing the abortionists. Stop killing the nurses. Stop killing the receptionists. And stop killing the babies. Killing is not the answer.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, we're going to be on this Monday and this week with a sermon review. A Holy Cross Day sermon. Holy Cross usually falls somewhere around this time. Its observance kind of floats around a little bit, depending on the Sunday. But someone might ask, why would you devote a Sunday if you're remembering, say, big days like Christmas or Easter, any of those? Why would you devote a Sunday of the church's calendar to Holy Cross Day? Well, September 14th this year is Holy Cross Day. And we're going to start out reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. On Holy Cross Day, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And if you're following us at Twitter, you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. In the second half hour of the program, Dr. Carl Beckwith joins us to begin a four-part weekly series with him on early Christianity today, the Roman understanding of Christianity. Then, in the second hour of the program, we'll talk for about 10 minutes with Dr. Paul Grimm of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about Holy Cross Day, go a little deeper into the history of this day and its observance. Then Chris Rosebro joins us. He's recently returned from a meeting in Chicago called the 2009 Emergent Theological Conversation. That's what the emergents do. They have conversations. We'll see what Chris has to tell us about the emerging church movement in the last three segments of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, September the 14th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us at @issuesetc. We always review sermons the same way here on Issues, Etc. We have a three-part diagnostic. One, how often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned. If it's only a few times, if Jesus gets tucked in there at the end or maybe at the beginning, or he's just quoted as kind of an honorific, it's a problem. Now, if Jesus is mentioned even once, then go on to part two. That is Jesus the subject of the verbs? In the sentences where Jesus appeared, was he the subject of the verbs? That is, the one driving the verbs, the one doing the action? And then if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, go on to part three. That is, what were those verbs? What is the preacher telling you Jesus did, does, will do for you? Is this the Jesus of pop American therapeutic deism who helps and inspires and gives examples? Or is this the Jesus of Scripture who lives and suffers and dies and rises again all for you? That's our three-part diagnostic. The sermon comes from Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. The text he's using, John 12, verse 32, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself."
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Holy Cross Day goes all the way back to Pius Helena. If you don't know Pius Helena, you most likely know her son, the Emperor Constantine, the Roman Emperor who converted to Christianity. Helena went to Jerusalem to find the landmarks about her faith, to find Jesus in the dirt of the Holy Land. There she found the sites for the crucifixion and the burial of Jesus, sites which scholars today believe to be the actual historic places where these things happened. But along with these things, these New Testament landmarks, she found not one, but three crosses. Three is what you'd expect, of course, one for Jesus and two for the robbers. But which one is the cross upon which our Lord Jesus died? How do you tell? A miracle helped her. A sick person touched one of the crosses and was healed. There you go. That must be the right one. So she took the cross and placed it in a church, a newly built church, which was built on Golgotha, the place where Jesus died. That church is called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Finding the cross where the Son of God was nailed is certainly reason to celebrate, isn't it? Gotta have a potluck or something. But the Christian church never has parties on Good Friday. The day is too solemn, so the date set aside for the celebration of the cross was September 14th, 335 A.D., and I promise you, 335 A.D. is older than anyone in this room. Therefore, in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the cross remained until the Muslims conquered Jerusalem and carried the cross off as a trophy. They carried the Lord's cross away like a trophy. That's not cool at all. But the Christian emperor Heraclius was victorious over the Muslims and returned the cross to its place in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. You guessed it, for the day of the celebration, September 14th, now 630 AD. Now, all of that history is great. But did Helena find the true cross? Well, like so many early church stories in history, it's hard to distinguish between the myth and the reality. And myths do not save. Not a single myth ever saved anyone from cancer, sickness, a bad life, from death or hell. Your faith needs to be founded upon the Word which is true and certain, even when you may not be true and certain. So what's a myth and what's real about your faith? The world will ask you that question. How will you answer? The answer is a matter of life and death. Today's gospel lesson. Some Greeks have the answer for you. They show up out of place in the gospel. They aren't supposed to be there. Greeks are supposedly too intelligent, too wise to be participating in some Jewish feast. But here they are, and they come up to Philip with a request. Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip directs them to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip get them Jesus. And Jesus' answer to them is astounding. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour, Jesus' hour, actual time, actual person, not a myth. And he's not glorified, this Jesus, by victory or conquest. No, he is glorified by dying. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. His hour is the hour which he dies. The hour that he won't avoid. The hour is why he came, to die upon the cross for all your sins. And there on the cross, you see the reality of how God is. God dies to save you from your sins. This one, this Jesus, is true man like you, born of the Virgin Mary, but is also true God, begotten of the Father before all eternity. This Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, an actual Roman governor in history. Then this Jesus was crucified on an actual wooden cross, whether we have it or not. And then he died and was buried. And after 3 days, this Jesus who died on Good Friday rose again for your justification. Sir, we would see Jesus, true God and true man. And those Greeks saw that day. They saw an actual man, the one who died to save them, the one who died to save you, me too. That's what Holy Cross Day is all about. Holy Cross Day reminds us, it dares us to contemplate the cross of Christ, to say with St. Paul, I desire to know nothing among you other than Jesus Christ and him crucified.
We'll come back to the sermon in just a second. Reviewing a sermon on this Monday, September the 14th, Holy Cross Day. On Holy Cross Day, the text is John chapter 12, verse 32, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Jesus foretelling his death there in John's gospel. Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, preaches the sermon. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. We'll post a link to the text of this sermon under the on-demand page of our website when we come back with the rest of the sermon and continue our review. Well, so far he's explained what Holy Cross Day is really all about, not the celebration of the artifact, that is the wood, which may or may not have been found, may or may not have been returned to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But we're celebrating the real cross, the real Jesus, the real event of his suffering and death for us. And so far in our sermon review, you notice Jesus is not only mentioned, he's also the subject of the verbs, and the verbs are all those that Scripture delivers to us, like suffering and dying and saving and forgiving. So far, so good. When we come back, more of this sermon on Holy Cross Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Salvation, how he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues, etc. online at issuesetc.org.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click Promote. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing a sermon on Holy Cross Day. That's today, September the 14th, as the church counts its calendar. Remember, the church has a calendar of its own. It not only counts its year differently, beginning in Advent sometime around November, but and ends it right around that time, too, with the Sunday of the Fulfillment, but also marks these points, in not always points in the church's history or in the people of the church, but in this case, it's the key day in the church's life, the event marked with a symbol, that symbol of death, the cross, the event that makes the Christian faith, and not just another set of man's convoluted moralisms. And it shouldn't just be one day, of course. Every Sunday, every day is Holy Cross Day for the Christian, and yet the church sets aside, like many days that should be celebrated every day, Easter, for example, sets aside one day to celebrate it as it is, all by itself. The sermon is from Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's just talked about and actually quoted St. Paul's famous words, "I was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Why?
The cross is the center of your faith. When Jesus is lifted up, He drags, He draws, even you and me, all to Himself. For here is salvation, here is faith, here is the reality of your world. Here is heaven itself, here is the glory and majesty of Almighty God, Jesus crucified for you. Then Easter morning, in the empty tomb, speaks the angels. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. See the place where He lay. The Jesus who rises on Easter morning is the same Jesus who died for your sins, the sins of the whole world, on Good Friday. Whether or not Helena found the actual cross and the tomb, the sepulchre, the place where He was buried, is irrelevant. Because there is a place where He laid and He lays no longer. The place where He isn't anymore. For He has risen from the dead, conquered your sin, and smashed death all up. Crucified. Cross. Not a myth or a symbol, but a reminder of an event that is true, whether you believe it's true or not. That bears repeating. Christ and Him crucified on the cross is not a myth that is made true by you believing it. It is not something of a moral story that is important to remember. The cross of Christ is a reality. A historic event which shows you God's glory. God's glory is seen in how He gives up His Son to save you. It actually happened. Not a myth, not a fairy tale, a life-changing event. The Jesus who died on Good Friday rose on Easter morning. When He is lifted up on the cross, He draws all to Himself. He draws you. So stop living as if this is a myth. Stop living as if He is still in the tomb, dear saints of God. Come out of your sins. Stop doing them. Stop doing the evil you do, the immorality, the despair, the hatred, the idolatry. Stop not forgiving people. Stop tearing people up behind their backs. Stop the hatred. Stop the negativity. Stop the sins of coveting. Just stop. For Jesus died and rose again. I know that you know that He died and rose again. I'm asking you to let the reality of His death and resurrection draw you out of your despair, your sin, your selfishness, even your death. For when Jesus is lifted up, when He dies on the cross, He draws all, even sinners like you and me, to Himself. Seek Jesus. Find Him where He is now. He's now not in the tomb, but in the Word, the water, and in His body and blood given for you to eat and drink. Teach your children that these are not just stories. Like so many other myths that we tell our kids, these things are real. The cross shows you the reality of your faith. That's the best way to remember Holy Cross Day. Remember the crucified Jesus. Remember it when you wake up. Remember it when you go to sleep at night. By the way, that's the other thing that Holy Cross Day teaches us. It reminds us to make the sign of the cross. When you have some free time, and I know you're very busy, but you can give God just another hour of your time other than church. When you have some free time, take a look in your Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel. That's real Old Testament stuff. There you will find God marking his people to protect them from wrath. He does this thing again, this marking, in three different chapters of John's Revelation. The mark was the Hebrew letter tau, which is like a T or an X. Those marked are those who are rescued from God's wrath. So the custom rose up in Christianity, in the Christian church, to trace the mark of a cross as a blessing, as a remembrance of Jesus who was lifted up on the cross to save us. And when I say that it rose up, I'm talking early, like 190 AD, definitely none of us alive in 190 AD, a pastor named Tertullian said that Christians don't do anything without the sign of the Holy Cross. Morning, noon, praying, and bedtime. All done in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've heard some folks tell me that making the sign of the cross isn't Lutheran. I have three different catechisms here. One of which you no doubt learned confirmation from. 1943, 1980-something, 2005. All of these catechisms say to pray this way in the morning and the evening. When you get up in the morning, make the sign of the cross and say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the evening, when you pray, repeat. It's also in your hymnals. Anytime you see that little red plus sign in the text, it's a sign from the editors telling you it's okay to make the sign of the cross here. Now, you can't get any more Lutheran than the scriptures and your catechism. But you are, of course, free not to make the sign of the cross. But you are not free not to remember your baptism. You are not free to live in your sins, and you are not free to forget the baptismal font where he put his name on you. Remembering your baptism is remembering who you are, what he did for you. That's a good way of celebrating Holy Cross Day in his name, with his watermark, his cross on your forehead and upon your heart. He died for you. He rose for you. He made you his own in the waters of your baptism. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, he put his name on you at the font. A real Jesus on a real cross. A real God died for you. Not a myth, not a story, a fact. A fact which you have based your faith on. A fact which is heaven for you. Foolishness to the world, salvation to you. And it is all remembered with his cross. So a blessed Holy Cross Day tomorrow to you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I listen to this, I think to myself, it's a good rule of thumb that every preacher should observe every Sunday when he steps into the pulpit, or not one of those kind of guys who is willing to get behind a pulpit, wants to stand out in front. Even if you want to stand out in front, a good rule of thumb. That rule kind of given to us in the prelude to this text, sir, we would see Jesus. The Greeks come asking to see Jesus. The disciples, what do they know? They take them to Jesus, and Jesus speaks immediately of his cross, of his passion, his suffering for the world. When I am lifted up from the earth, and he calls this moment his glory. I find it remarkable that there are preachers out there, and so many of them, who think they found something more glorious than the cross of Jesus Christ to preach. They think they found something more relevant, more attention-getting, more important for salvation than the cross of Jesus Christ to preach. Jesus says the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified has come, and it looks like him being lifted up from the earth on his cross. It doesn't look like glory, which is probably why a lot of those preachers avoid it. But if you want to show your people Jesus, and if you are sitting in the pew and you ask your preacher, show us Jesus, and he runs through his sermon and Jesus gets mentioned by way of example or he's there to inspire you, but it's not that Jesus explicitly, who suffered for you, was lifted up from the earth for you, has drawn you to himself by shedding his blood at the cross for you, for your sins, for your salvation. They're showing you a Jesus, but not the one that you really need. We should all be like those Greeks inquiring every Sunday. Sir, we would see Jesus. And if the preacher won't show you Jesus, he shouldn't be standing in the pulpit. By the way, we're going to revisit the subject of Holy Cross Day again in the next hour with Dr. Paul Grimm. We'll talk about the history of this day and its observance. When we come back, we're going to begin a four-part weekly series on early Christianity today, the Roman understanding of Christianity. Dr. Carl Beckwith of Beeson Divinity School will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, September the 14th. This is Issues, Etc. Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is kind of a Lutheran revision of an NIV Study Bible, so there's always a certain yes, but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and Lutheran exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the Spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you follow the Duggar family on the TV show 18 Children and Counting, you know of the size of their family. Michelle and Jim Bob joyfully announced number 19 is on the way. The reaction of countless so-called pro-choicers was vicious. More than 1,000 of them blogged hateful and intolerant remarks, even though they chose to have children. The Duggar family isn't looking for a handout. They have a huge house they built themselves and aren't in debt. Yet many have expressed outrage they've got the audacity to be happy with their large family. I love watching their TV program when I can. It openly allows viewers to witness their strong faith in Jesus. They're an incredible example to anyone who watches, and evidently millions do, so their intolerant critics can take a hike.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.